Hello and welcome to another Marketing Meetup podcast. My name is James and I am delighted that you are here. Today we have a talk from Nicole Metzler-Salma, who was talking about how you can use AI in social media. Nicole gave us so many resources and such an interesting insight into how AI is both already helping people manage the social media channels, but as well, she talked about different tools that that can help creators and content managers make their jobs more efficient. And I think it was a fascinating insight into where we're going in the world. Nicole gave us a presentation, and then there was a great Q&A at the end as well. So make sure you you listen to that. The reason we can keep these sessions free and the reason you're listening to this podcast is because we have partners like Cambridge Marketing College, who have been supporting us for years, and they offer an incredible range of flexible qualifications and courses. But when we put this season on, we've got four sessions on AI, and they said, oh, you should share our short course on mastering AI and metaverse marketing with the community. The next cohort they've got is on the 15th of May. It's a short course, it's great value. And so if you're interested in learning more about that and AI and that sort of thing, then go check it out at Cambridge Marketing College. So that's all from me. Let's hand straight over to Nicole for her presentation. I hope you enjoy.
Thank you very much, James, and welcome everyone. It's lovely to be here. Some of you might know me from being a member of the community and having been for quite a long time. So it's very exciting to be here sharing my knowledge with you guys. So without further ado, hopefully you can see my screen, and we'll be talking a little bit about AI, specifically in the context of social media. So first of all, a little bit about me. I started off my life as a journalist, but I moved into marketing, particularly with drinks brands, and then went into agency side. And I've been essentially a bit of a tech geek, or a geek in general, to be fair. And I love anything to do with tech and innovation. So I am a senior consultant for innovation at an agency called Buttonhole. And my only promotional slide, I promise, is this one, just talking a little bit about what we do, but in the context of how we can add value to you guys. We have a daily WhatsApp social media briefing. So the top news every day of what's happening on social media. So if you don't want to be looking around for the top news, subscribe to our WhatsApp. We also have monthly newsletters on social media and tech. Then we have annual trends reports, which happen once a year, normally around November time, and we do a lot more. What we'll cover today in a nutshell is what AI is looking like on social media today, what we can expect for this year and beyond, and then I'll share some useful tools for you guys at the end. This is one of my favorite gifts, and essentially it represents me every time I try to do anything like this, because the pace of movement on AI is so fast that keeping up with anything is almost impossible. So if you feel like this, you're not alone. I feel like this on a daily basis as well. James preempted the question I was going to ask, which is whether you are currently using AI or not. So I already saw that loads of you said yes. If you haven't had the chance to reply before, let us know in the chat if you use AI currently or not. And if you don't, I'd love to hear why. And we can talk a little bit more about that later on. Every day, amazing. A little bit, okay. Great. For those of you who use AI, hopefully there'll be enough in this presentation to actually get your gears going a little bit and show you some things you don't know yet. And if you only use ChatGPT, prepare to have your mind blown. Some basic definitions before we go into the nitty-gritty of it, just because I think these are quite useful. Artificial intelligence is the umbrella term for anything to do with computers that think like humans, or computers that think by themselves, essentially, that they can do any sort of activity without human prompting or telling them what to do exactly. So that's the catch-all term for anything that has to do with artificial intelligence. And again, this has been going around for decades. It's not a new thing. The thing that's a bit newer is generative AI, or Gen AI as we know it. And this is where we're going to be focusing mostly today. Gen AI is essentially, as you know, a technology that uses large language models, as they're called, which is a load of data is inputted into an AI model. And then by asking specific things, it can serve specific purposes. So for example, ChatGPT, you put your prompt in and you ask your questions and it'll give you answers. Midjourney, you put a prompt in and it converts text into images, and so on and so forth. Then finally, we have artificial general intelligence, or AGI. If you are a sci-fi fan like me, this is where essentially machines can think for themselves and become fully aware. Think Skynet in Terminator. In sci-fi, normally they are represented as evil, but AGI is essentially the concept that most of the people who work on AI theory are working towards. It's building AIs that can completely think for themselves. We're not anywhere close to that yet, but in theory, we could potentially get there at some point. So Gen AI is where we'll be focusing on today, and the focus of most of the conversations about AI that we see on social media, actually. So where are we today? We are at a place where you cannot help but use AI. Even if you don't know about it, you're probably using AI already, because all social media platforms have AI embedded in their day-to-day operations. So just to give an example of what's happening in the world at the moment, LinkedIn has literally AI everywhere. If you are a premium subscriber, you've probably seen all sorts of prompts, collaborative articles that everyone loves to hate. They're all AI generated. There are AI recruitment tools, AI job application tools, everything you can essentially use AI for in LinkedIn. And there's a reason for that we'll be talking about more later. Facebook has, in addition to a number of other things, AI-powered ads. If you've ever used Advantage Plus on Facebook, you probably have seen AI-generated ads where they essentially adapt the ads for you, from copy to images and even the setup of the whole thing. They've recently launched a load of new tools as well. Most of them aren't available in the UK yet, but there will be chat. Essentially, they are in doing a bit of like a chatbot with their Llama language on Instagram and Facebook. TikTok has an amazing AI creative assistant. If you haven't played with it yet, have a look, because it's quite interesting. And if you'd like to start working with TikTok, it's really helpful because you can do competitor research on it. You can ask it to write scripts for you for your TikTok videos. It's super useful and very specific for TikTok applications. Then we also have Instagram. Instagram uses AI a lot to moderate content alongside a number of other tools. Again, I don't have access to most of them, but in the US, for example, if you're a creator, you can use AI tools to remove backgrounds from images, to essentially edit your images almost completely on platform using AI, a bit like you would on Canva, for example, which also uses a lot of AI. And Twitter, or X, I refuse to call it X, it's Twitter forever, Twitter for life, has launched its own large language model called Grok. And recently it's rolled out this model to all of their premium paid users. But Grok isn't that great compared to some of the other models out there. So again, not necessarily recommending it, but it exists. So all of this is to say that this is just the beginning. Social media platforms and all of the other social media tools that some of you might be aware of, your Sprout Socials, your Hootsuite, your Sprinklers, your Meltwaters, all of them already have a measure of AI implemented and incorporated within the platform. Focusing a little bit on LinkedIn, just because we know that LinkedIn is one of the platforms that has been doing the most with AI. There's a main reason for that, which is LinkedIn is owned by Microsoft. Microsoft being, of course, one of the big tech companies that has a lot at stake when it comes to AI. They have their own co-pilots now, which used to be Bing Chat, but now they're essentially incorporating all of these AI tools across the whole Microsoft suite of, you know, the stuff, Office tools that you would use. But LinkedIn is their social media playground, essentially. So this list is not by any way extensive in the sense that it's not exhaustive. It's not everything. There's more, and there's more coming every day. So you can do a lot with AI on LinkedIn. It's not always great, as you may have remembered from Joe's post a couple of weeks ago about the AI comments that people put on LinkedIn. A lot of it is dross. It's really, really bad. And a lot of the AI generated posts you see on LinkedIn as well. And if you, you know, have an eye for this, you can probably identify it even based on the emojis that they use. Rocket emoji, I'm looking at you. So yes, there's a lot going on AI from the platform side. And the main reason for that is while they want to make users' lives easier, they also want to keep you on the platform. So instead of going to ChatGPT, drafting a post in there and then copying and pasting into LinkedIn, LinkedIn wants to keep you on the platform, right? Because that's how they make money from the advertisers. So they want to do that to stay ahead of the competition. They don't want you to go elsewhere to get your AI fix and then come back to the platform. They want to keep you there. And this is essentially me ahead of this presentation, because every day, literally, there is some sort of news on AI and something new that's coming out. So it's impossible to keep up to date with everything that's going on. So I just have to realize, like, we're Donald Glover here. I love community too. That there is no way. I just need to, you know, shout at the ether and know that I'm always going to be out of date. There are some things that are important for us to keep an eye out as well. It's not all good when it comes to AI. Last week's presentation from Ross was very optimistic. And I just wanted to not necessarily bring the tone down a bit, but I do want to bring some awareness to some of the issues that we have surrounding AI, which are very important. The first one is biased and skewed data. The outputs of any AI tool you use, or Gen AI tools in particular, are only as good as the data that feeds those models. So if the data that feeds the model is biased, then the outputs will also be biased. So to give an example, if you just do a generic prompt for doctor on Midjourney, you're more likely to get a man. If you do nurse, you're more likely to get a woman. So again, that is the sort of thing, because it's based on general internet data, that needs to be considered. And skewed data is also important, because obviously there are a lot of things to be considered when it comes to who feeds and what feeds all of these models. Copyright issues are another big thing. We are all concerned about how to use the outputs of AI in exactly garbage in, garbage out, as Tia said in the chat. Very important to realize and understand that not all AI models are made equal, and not all of them were built with 100% royalty-free data. So we have seen already lawsuits from musicians, from artists, the strikes in Hollywood about how to use actors' likenesses and voices on productions, authors and writers suing ChatGPT for essentially using their works, which are not in the public domain, to power the AI model. So there's a lot of considerations there. So again, never just use the output of a chatbot and post that as what you expect it to be, because it always requires a very, very heavy bit of editing. The third point here on social manipulation is quite important, because this is the biggest election year in the world's history. There are about 80 odd countries this year which have general elections or some sort of election going on. So using AI for social manipulation, which we have already seen happening in some cases, is something that is quite you know, dangerous, but likely to happen. So for all of us who work in marketing and who work in social media, it's important to keep aware of what's going on and make sure that we are calling out whenever we see someone using things like this. So for example, pictures, a long time ago, you probably remember the pictures of Donald Trump being arrested and going to jail, which were fake. A lot of us wanted to see that, but they weren't true. So again, a lot of other countries, we see people using AI to generate stories and images that are fake. Even, you know, the Pope in the Balenciaga suit, was probably innocuous, but it was still a fake. So we need to be aware of these things. And this is linked directly to the deep fake point here. We've recently seen, obviously, Taylor Swift being a victim a few weeks ago of deep fake porn using her image. That is a big problem, but obviously there are other uses for deep fakes, for example, in manipulating elections. And until the social media platforms, which all of them claim to be, start actually labeling AI content as AI content, then we need to be extra, extra careful of going back to the maxim, don't believe everything you see on the internet. Check, and double check. So there's a question from Rachel about identifying if something is fake. We have a few tools for that, which I'll mention later on. But a lot of it is really just making sure that you do your due diligence and just go and check the sources to make sure that what you're seeing is real. So I love The Marketoonist, so I couldn't not put a Marketoonist cartoon. And this actually came out a couple of weeks ago, so it's perfectly timed for this. Another concern that people have is, you know, AI is going to free up our time. However, what are we going to use that time for? Worrying about AI and the issues created by AI. It's a joke, but it is something that we need to consider. But I am an optimist, so I will not be talking about the bad side more than that slide. That's it. Now I'm talking about the good stuff again. What should companies, you guys, do about all of these issues? That's the bit that we want to focus on. The first bit is be transparent. If you are using AI, tell people you're using AI. There's no reason not to, unless you're trying to be dodgy. And we don't want you to be dodgy. So please, if you're using AI, be transparent about it. Have an AI policy, which is the second point here, that explains how you use AI and what you use AI for. That is important, not just externally, so that people know, your customers know, you know, the world around you know, but also for your own staff. So for example, if you have a team of 10, 15, 20 people, up to thousands of people, you need to have some guardrails on how to use AI within your business. If you don't have that already, you should be working on one, because it's important that people understand. We've had cases, for example, of Samsung banning the use of AI last year because people were essentially using the free version of ChatGPT and uploading data that was actually proprietary or confidential. So you can't do that. You need to make sure that whatever service you're using is something that you can actually upload data without the risk of being used to train the model in the future, which is also a problem if you're using confidential data. So again, do your due diligence, make sure that you have those things in place. And also, keep up to date. It's hard work, I know, because I have to do it on a regular basis. But it is important to know what's happening out there when it comes to regulations, when it comes to new tools, when it comes to how they're being used, and all of that. And I'll give a bit more detail about these things in a minute.
Thank you.
I don't know if you've seen that ad before, but it's brilliant. And this ad was actually created 2 years ago, 2022, when DALL-E was the only AI tool that was available for creating images. So, and it was essentially experimental. And that is a great way of using AI for your social media or for your adverts, because you wouldn't be able to make that ad without the AI. So that is kind of the litmus test that we use. And this is an example from our own team. This is one of our clients, GE Healthcare. Not the most exciting, like Heinz, but what we did was, as a part of a back to school campaign last year, we invited the team at the company to ask their children to draw what they thought their parents did at work. And then we used the AI to bring those pictures to life and create what would be a more realistic impression of what that would be. And again, it's a simple idea. It's not necessarily something that we would have done without AI. So it really helped bring to life. And we use different styles for different images as well. And this post was actually the best performing post for the company social media channels in Q3 last year. So again, you can use AI in a nice way without necessarily telling people or not telling people that you're using AI. We were very clear that AI was used to generate this. And again, we wouldn't have been able to do this very easily. And again, Lex is asking if we had any backlash. No, zero backlash. And again, it was an innocent thing of getting kids to draw pictures and then bringing them to life. So again, really good, simple way of implementing an AI and be transparent about it. On the policy front, if you want to start your AI policy, but you don't know where to or how to, this is actually the BBC's guidance on the use of artificial intelligence. It's a great, great resource. I'm happy to share the links afterwards when the newsletter goes out so that you have access to all of those. And I can see James is summing up. But again, just search for BBC guidance on artificial intelligence and you'll find this. It's really, really comprehensive. It tells you what AI, what the BBC uses AI for, which might be or not be relevant for your company, but it's great inspiration and it's very, very thorough. They also have guidance for staff on how to use AI, which is also helpful for you guys to have a look at. But if you want to do AI properly, do what I did and ask ChatGPT to create your own social media AI guidance policy. So this was me asking ChatGPT to create my own AI social media policy based on UK regulations specifically. So ChatGPT actually gave me a fully fledged AI policy that I could just adapt and start. So if you don't know where to start, you can ask AI to help you. That's what it's there for. But always remember to build your own guardrails and build your own uses and do's and don'ts and case studies as part of that. So it can be a living document that you build upon. The other thing that I wanted to mention is how to keep informed. And I wanted to give two sources that I use. And again, I'll share the links for the newsletter later on. But the first one is Axios. They have a great newsletter called AI Plus. This comes out daily and it really goes into, it's a 5-minute read, but it goes into in-depth explorations of the top two or three stories of the day in the AI world, written by journalists. So really well rehearsed, well researched, and with a lot of good information. They also share some short links of news bites if you just want to go and read for yourself. And the second one is Ben's Bites. Ben is also a journalist, but he started his own newsletter. He has a daily digest, which is again, bite-sized information, recaps of the big news of the day, and then a bit more links for other things later on. And then finally, he also sends a bigger deep dive with more in-depth information once a week. So really, two really good resources that I use to keep on top of stuff, as well as obviously just, you know, trying to keep up with the news, which is complicated. But this is a good place to start if you want to stay abreast of what's going on. So what can we expect from AI in 2024 and beyond? First thing is, it's not going to stop anytime soon. On the contrary. So if you're not already on the bandwagon, you might as well want to jump on at some point, because otherwise you will be left behind. The market is growing exponentially for software development, for investments in AI, for the number of tools that are being released on a daily basis. Everything is just insanely, it's just growing, and it's not going to stop growing anytime soon. How will AI further impact social media moving on, moving forward? These are some of my personal views on how I think things are going to go moving forward. And the first one is to do with customer service chatbots. So it's not necessarily social media specific, but social media does play a role in this. And this week, in the past week, Meta has rolled out its own chatbot across Facebook and Instagram. And if you've seen it, there are actually ways where you can just ask them to do things for you within a chat with someone else. Like, you can be in a group chat and you can essentially ask Meta AI, like, can you give me suggestions of places to go on a picnic with my friends? And it'll actually respond straight there and then. So this is a one example. And I will share another example after I finish on this slide. The second thing is content repurposing. And this is obviously the bane of most of our social media managers' lives, which is someone comes to you and say, here's a blog post. Can you please make a YouTube video, a Twitter post, a LinkedIn post, you know, a Pinterest board or whatever from this blog post? Yes, you can. Obviously, normally that would take a lot of time, but with AI, we can do that a little bit faster, a little bit easier. But again, it's not just the AI tool, it's you guiding the AI tool, which is very important to remember. And I'll share some of those tools later, so I'm not just going to leave you hanging. The third thing, and for me, this is one of the most important ones, is improved accessibility. I do not understand why in this day and age, you cannot, when you're uploading a picture to LinkedIn or Twitter or wherever it is, you don't automatically get alt text generated within the platform. It's ridiculous that you actually have to go in and type alt text in this day and age. So I hope that in the near future, all the social media platforms that are investing so much in AI actually use it for good and increase the use of AI to improve accessibility features like alt text. And finally, data analysis. For me, it's one of the main things that I think AI is really good at, because AI can essentially look at vast amounts of data and give you trends and pinpoint things that might look a bit odd. It can actually fix spreadsheets for you if you have something, a formula that's wrong. It's used by everyone I know who is in coding, because you will never have a typo when you ask ChatGPT to give you a line of code. So it's super useful in that respect. And with data analysis, similarly, you won't have, you know, errors, human errors in things that are simple to do when you're a machine. And also, they can look at massive bits of data without much faster than a human being would be able to. So I'll be talking about, Lois, I have you covered. I will be talking about alt text in my tools, so don't worry about that. An example of chatbots being used where AI plays a role. This is Sephora in the US specifically, but they've implemented a chatbot on Facebook, which essentially allows you to go onto their page and say, you perform a little quiz, which is led by AI, but has a lot of natural language. So it sounds more accessible, more human. And after you do this, you essentially get led to asked whether you want to go in store for a consultation. And by using this tool, they've actually increased bookings of in-store consultations by 11% compared to all the other platforms that they use. So it's actually proving to be really successful for them. And if you don't have anything, any specific tools that you already use, and that hasn't been built yet, or you think it hasn't been built yet, you will actually be able to create your own tool using no-code platforms. So if any of you uses ChatGPT, and I know a lot of you do, you can actually go and create your own GPT. You have to be a pro member to do that, but you can create essentially a module of ChatGPT that does a specific task for you. So if you have a repetitive task that you do all the time, you can put all the parameters in already. So you essentially go into your GPT and it does that consistently every time without you having to add any elements to the prompt. You essentially build your own little version of ChatGPT to suit your purpose. So that's already available and you don't have to know anything about software development or coding in order to build those. I've done one of them before. It's super easy. If I can do it, probably any of you can do it. So the bit that everyone is interested in, useful tools, things you can use and implement from today, tomorrow, to actually make your life easier. The first one is probably my favorite at the moment. This is a tool I've discovered fairly recently called magai.co. It's MagAI, Magai, but I like to say Magai because it's quite cute, almost like MacGyver for those of you of a certain age. And this is essentially a tool that uses the API setup to give you all of the chatbots, the major ones, for a much smaller fee than if you went to pay for them individually. So for $19 a month, you get access to the pro versions of ChatGPT, Gemini, Claude from Anthropic, and a few others like Llama, etc., and Mistral. So essentially, it's all the big five, and you have access to all of them. And also DALL-E. So if you're doing image generation, you can also do that. In addition to having access to all those tools, they also have personas, which is quite a clever thing. So they have a marketing manager persona. So if you want to create a marketing plan, for example, you can actually select the marketing manager persona. And instead of saying, role play it, you are a marketing manager, it already has that built in. And this is one thing that they already have inbuilt as well, which is a social content repurposing. So I posted a link to one of our blogs about X/Twitter and asked it to create some LinkedIn posts and some Pinterest ideas. And it essentially gives me already things. And you can see the output isn't fantastic, but I didn't expect it to be, but it's a starting point. So you get some inspiration from that to then go ahead and say, out of the 10 ideas that it gives you, probably 9 will be rubbish, but 1 might actually be decent. And then you go and work with that to create something that's a bit better. Second one, and I mentioned this in my live presentations recently, is one that's quite useful. It was developed for neurodivergent people. It's called Goblin Tools, but it actually is useful for everyone. And it's not social media specific, but it is super useful. This magic to do is essentially a way to break down tasks into smaller chunks so that it's very helpful. And the example I put there is draft an 800 word article on AI in social media. And it gives you essentially all of the steps you need to take as smaller jobs you need to do to complete that task. So yes, there you go. Leanne already uses it, so it's really useful. It has some other tools that are really good. So for example, it can make text more formal. It can help you judge the tone of a message. So if you receive a passive aggressive email from a colleague, you can actually put it there and it'll tell you if the person is actually being passive aggressive or you just think they're being a bit dodgy. And it also has a chef feature. So you can put some ingredients in there and it gives you a recipe. So there you go. A bonus, not social media related, but it's quite good. For those of you who are wanting help with alt text, there is a tool for that called alttext.ai. And it is essentially an AI alt text generator. You literally upload an image and it churns out alt text for you. You can do a number of them for free, but obviously if you're going to do large quantities of images, so if you're going to post daily, you will need to pay for the service. It's not expensive. I think it's about $10 a month for a fairly large number of images. So again, if you want to save time, that's a good tool to use. If you put upload images to places like Gemini or ChatGPT as well, it will give you an image description, which you can use as alt text. So again, there are a number of different ways you can do that to save you time, essentially. This is another useful tool called maxai.me, and this is an extension, an add-on, a plugin that uses works both for Chrome and for Edge if you are a Microsoft user. And essentially, it if you subscribe to it, you can also have access to all of those different social media platforms, but as a plugin to Chrome or Edge, which means you can use it on any website that you go to. So for example, if you're on LinkedIn, you can actually use it to generate a quick reply, to summarize text, to translate posts for you, to react, so to do a number of things, to search for things, explain concepts, so if you're not unsure. So essentially, it can plug into all the websites that you visit, which is quite handy. And again, if you pay for the subscription, you also get access to all of the tools within the platform without having to subscribe to them externally. Taplio is one for LinkedIn power users. It's quite expensive, about $50 a month. So I wouldn't necessarily recommend it for everyone. Also, it will link to your LinkedIn account, which LinkedIn's terms of services actually tells you not to do. So again, one to use with care. But if you are a LinkedIn power user, it actually can be quite useful because it generates content specifically for you. You tell them what you want to, essentially what you're about, like your job title, your area of expertise, and what your interests are. And it will actually search for sources, like news stories you can comment on. It will generate posts. It will do a number of things to make life a bit easier. But again, this is quite expensive compared to some of the other tools out there. And it's very specific for LinkedIn only. So one for you to use if you are a power user potentially. This is another one that's super useful. It's called wiseme.io. And it's another add-on to Chrome specifically. And this is more of a research assistant. So it allows you to highlight text that might essentially give you answers and explanations for that. It allows you to cross-check facts. So for example, if a story is making a claim and you click on it, it will give you other sources that are talking about the same story. So I used to be a journalist. This is super, super interesting and useful for me because it actually corroborates that something that you're reading online is confirmed by other sources. So really, really useful for research. If you use the paid version as well, which isn't expensive, it's about $10 a month or $99 if you pay for the full year in advance. It allows you to do deep dives into topics and ask specific questions. And you can also ask a question in a page and use that page as the source of your answer, or you can search the web as a whole. So quite useful if you do a lot of research as well. And finally, last but not least, one of the most useful tools out there for content repurposing is Opus Clip. And I'm sure most of you or a lot of you here will be familiar with that. You essentially upload a longish video to Opus Clip and it gives you smaller videos that you can use for social media. But the way that their algorithm works is that it can kind of identify which bits they think are going to go viral. So they'll give you the juicy bits, essentially, to create the smaller videos. So again, it's very useful for you to have, and they do have a new pro version, which is for agencies and content creators. And it does, they were on sale until fairly recently. So I think it was only about $14 a month, which again, it's not a lot because it does help you repurpose content in a very, very simple way. So again, if you do a lot of video and if you often struggle to do video edits for social media, this is the tool for you. Finally, they were asking before about fakes and how do you identify fakes or plagiarism. One of the biggest and oldest tools available is originality.ai. And this is obviously something that you can use if you are not sure if something is built or created with AI or not. And this tool allows you to confirm that. So it's about, again, $10 a month. So not super expensive. And you can use it for a lot of different content. There are a number of different tools out there that do similar things, but Originality AI is one that a lot of people use and we know is pretty good. I've used it in the past as well, and I know it's pretty reliable. Finally, if you don't know what to use, there are ways to find new tools. And these are the two main repositories that I use online. One is very self-explanatory. There is an AI for that. So the link is on the screen, but we'll share them later afterwards as well. And the second one is Futurepedia. And both of these are updated daily. So if there is a tool that you want to use and you're not sure, then find it. And most of the tools there as well have free trials. So you can test it out for a week or two before you decide if you want to invest. So it's a great way to test different tools as well and experiment. Because the human brain works in threes, to conclude, we'll just finish off with my three key takeaways here. The first one is AI is here to stay, whether you like it or not. So you might as well start getting on board with it, or at least being aware of what's happening out there. It is a very rapidly evolving ecosystem. So staying up to date is essential, because otherwise you will know the difference. You will get out of date very quickly. And again, the tools are very useful, and it's fun to play with them. So have a little play, go out, explore, and share with us and the community afterwards the ones you like the most. Like, I've seen the chat has been going mental with people sharing their versions and the tools that they like the most. So I will definitely be going back to that to see what else everyone is recommending. But again, amazing stuff out there if you want to have a little play. And there's a lot of stuff that I don't even know about, because again, it's impossible to keep track of everything.
A little round of applause. It's I'm sitting here smiling at how many AI tools there are. It blows my mind. And I think I'm probably, by the way, I can put your QR code to your LinkedIn up at the end if you want as well for people, and I'll send it in the follow-up email. I have been using Opus Clip. So I used to edit a lot of video through a business that I ran, and AI came along with Opus Clip, and I was like, oh man, there's a day's work in about 30 seconds. What you do have to do is then kind of read between the lines and realize that the thing that it thinks is viral isn't as good as, you know, if you were to just shift that clip slightly further across. And, you know, it still requires a lot of human input, but it's the legwork is the thing that I find fascinating, that it can get rid of.
And that's the thing with most AI tools, in my experience, to be fair, is none of them are so good that they will actually replace a human person doing that job. But they make life so much easier, and they make your job so much quicker, and they reduce friction. And that's essentially what AI tools so far are great at doing. It's reducing friction, making your life that little bit easier so you can do your job a little bit better. So we like to call it, at least at work, I like to talk about enhancing the work that we do rather than replacing anything that we do.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, when I first started editing video and I had to put captions into videos, it would take hours because I'd have to do all the individual cuts. Now Premiere Pro has it built in, and you know, sometimes if you've got a Glaswegian in there, maybe you might have to go in and tweak a few words that it hasn't quite got right, but it's getting better and better. And actually Leanne, I think it was Leanne Fisher, I made a note right at the beginning, put AI is assistance and inspiration. And I was like, actually, that's the perfect way to look at all of this is actually, they're not coming to take our jobs, they're coming to make the boring stuff a lot easier and enable marketers to, you know, to do more with their time, and, you know, focus on the creativity and let the AI do all the boring stuff. So
absolutely.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Well, thank you for that. We've got a bunch of open questions and we've got 10 minutes. So should we jump straight in, and I'll fire away with, well, Anita has asked at the beginning about, you know, whether there's a way to ensure content is deepfake or not under copyright. Presumably that tool that you shared is the one for that.
Yeah, for plagiarism and copyright, for sure. Deepfakes, always a bit more complicated. Photos and videos are a bit trickier to identify whether they are AI or not. There is a lot of work going on in the background as I said, from the social media platforms themselves. Both Meta and TikTok have already come out with AI labeling tools. They just haven't rolled them out fully yet, but they are going to bring them on this year. At least that's the plan, because obviously for the US, it's a big election year. So they are, obviously, everyone is very keen. And TikTok, particularly because of all the talk about the ban as well, they are keen to make sure that they do everything that in their power to do the right thing so that they don't get banned.
Yeah. The next question, which was kind of sitting on my mind a little bit as well, is about how we should tell people that how we use AI. Obviously, there's the policy thing there. But when it comes to like blogs, ideas for the website, captions for social media, you know, we're already like at the Marketing Meetup, we use it all the time. Things are transcribed and then we'll take that transcript and get it to pull the most important and sort of salient points out of a webinar. Do we need to declare that, do you think? Or like, where do you sit on that?
I think if it's a creative idea or is an asset or an image or a campaign like that, definitely I would say yes, declare it. If it's just using a tool that makes life easier, I wouldn't necessarily like using alt text AI to create alt text copy. I don't think you need to declare that you're using AI for alt text. Yeah. I think that is, you know, pretty par for the course. And hopefully, again, will be something that everyone uses moving forward very soon. So for things like, you know, pulling key takeaways, transcribing meetings, generating captions for videos, I don't think you need to declare all of these things. I just think if there is an element of doubt, potentially, that something could have been, you know, CGI or AI, you should always tell people. You know, remember recently the Jacquemus campaign with the little bags that were cars driving around Paris? Yeah. That was CG. They didn't say it was CG, however. And people were like, oh, that's such an amazing campaign. Like, how did they do that and put those bags driving around Paris? They never drove around Paris. It was all computer generated, done by a designer, and they didn't say that. So there was a massive backlash afterwards because they didn't disclose that it wasn't an actual car bag that they built. So
I think Kate Middleton should have been on this webinar like a few months ago, right? And then all that wouldn't have happened.
Exactly. So. Yeah. So I think it's all about if there is an element of doubt and people might misconstrue whatever you are posting as something that was created using CG or AI or whatever it was, you should disclose it.
Yeah.
That's my particular view.
Melanie asks if you were to recommend any paid AI app for social media. Like if you're going to choose one, what's your go-to one? What's the thing that you... Because if everything's like, I was kind of tossing up, writing them down. I was just like, well, there's $10. There's another 10. Yep. Another, like, you're pretty quick to $100, $150 a month. And
yeah, you don't need to pay for all of them, of course. But if you can only pick one, then I would definitely go for something like your Magai's of the world, because you're essentially paying one fee for a number of different tools in one place. So it's like ChatGPT plus, essentially, because you're getting ChatGPT plus other stuff. But it depends on what your need specifically is. As you know, Brian is saying that he's loving copy AI for sales and marketing copy specifically. So you need to figure out which tool works best for your specific need. As you said, James, for video editing, obviously you'd go for something like Opus because it makes life simpler for you. But again, it depends on what your specific use case is. What I've been playing with is how can you get the most value out of one specific tool? So something like, you know, WebMax AI or the Magai that gives you lots of different tools in one package and at a lower cost because of the API access, then that makes more sense to me.
Yeah. And I actually think the sort of AI that's being built into software like Canva, like Adobe, you know, it's taking what Opus has done and gone, hang on, they're stealing our customers here. And then they start building the tech in themselves. And it's not they're not always quite as quick to market as these new tools. But I am finding a lot of the big tools that everybody uses, the Adobes and Canvas of the world, are there pretty shortly after, if not there first, with the same sort of technology. And usually I find that it's slightly better because you're editing within their sort of ecosystem. So
Yeah, and you're already used to the platform, right? So you're already used to the tools, so it fits better your own workflows. So ultimately, is about picking what works best for your own needs and your own ways of working.
Definitely. So the next question from Josie Hull is a really, like, I think is a really important one for anybody that's having to manage social media campaigns. What are the best AI tools, programs, platforms for planning and/or creating, ideating social media content? Like, I hit brick walls all the time because it's me, Joe, and Elle, and Joe will be busy doing one thing, Elle will be doing something else, and I'm like, all right, I need to come up with some ideas for social media. And if you're a one-person marketing team, which a lot of our community will be, and they have that weight of responsibility on creating stuff, beyond the strategy, how do you, is there anything that helps with ideation and planning?
Yeah, absolutely. So all of the big social media tools, like your Later, Sprouts, all of them have their own AI tools. Some of them are actually free to use. I think Later, for example, has some social media ideation tools. There's another one called Flick that also has some free tools for you to use. A lot of them, if you already pay for the, social media platform management platform that you use, you get the AI bundled with it. But ultimately, you can always just go to, ChatGPT with the right prompts and, just say, I think the game changer for me with ChatGPT, and I think I'm pretty sure that the next session will be focusing specifically on ChatGPT for marketers, so I don't want to steal anyone's thunder here, but the game changer for me with prompting is asking the AI to role play. So don't just say, create a social media post. Say, you are an experienced social media manager working for a specific company, and put in as much information about your sector, about your company, as you can in the prompt. And then you ask them to create stuff for you. But be very specific about who you want them to write as. So you can put information about your audience, you can put information about the company, you can put information about the markets you're trying to target, you can put information about the tone, if you want humor, if you don't want humor. And the more specific you are, especially with the role play stuff, the better the outputs of the AI are. The other thing that's quite interesting with prompting is that there is actual research that proves that if you instill a sense of urgency, it gives you better results. So if you say something
Interesting.
like, my job depends on this, ChatGPT will actually give you better answers. So
Wow.
something else to consider.
That's literally going to be the opening line every time for ChatGPT because my job probably does depend on it. But
There you go.
no, that's really interesting. I also heard somebody saying that. Not just to rely on the first answer that it gives you, and actually go back and say, yeah, I really like that part, but this part could do with refining. Can you go into that? And yeah, I think that, and I found I'm not a heavy user of ChatGPT, but I've found that really starts to get some interesting results, which is great. And yeah, we do
Yeah.
have Heather Murray, who's next week. We've got specifically talking about ChatGPT prompts, so that should be. Should be super
Yeah,
easy.
what people forget about chatbots is the chat part. It's not about asking them for a task and taking the answer. You actually have to build the conversation with them. And the more you talk to them, the better and more refined the answers will be. And if you have a paid account, it'll actually remember those conversations as well. So it'll actually use that information in future conversations you have with it. So it's very important to do the chatting, because the chatting is what teaches the AI what you want from it.
Yeah, that's awesome. I know Joe's been using the paid version of ChatGPT for a long time, and I've been using the free one. But I'm like, no, now's the time. Now's the time to upgrade, I think, because it's amazing what it can do. We've got probably time for one more question. There's a lot of people asking about text. So Alicia says, is there a tool like Opus Clip for text? And Caroline King has said, what would you say is the best AI for copy? You know, like, is it back to ChatGPT, or is there a specific one for copywriters, do you think?
So as Brian said, there are specific tools like Copy AI, which are specific for copy and particularly marketing copy. I find that Claude, Anthropic's model Claude, is actually better for natural language. So stuff that sounds more like humans. ChatGPT has some tells. There are some words that it loves to use. And so when the content comes out of ChatGPT, it hardly ever sounds very human. Whereas Claude is a lot more natural. Gemini, which is the old Bard, which is Google's model, is also better, I find. There you go, Leanne keeps changing the words. Yes. So there are a few words that it loves. So there are some things that... yeah, so I think most tools are actually better at natural language than ChatGPT at the moment. But ChatGPT is coming out with a new model, ChatGPT 5, in a couple of months. Okay. So that might actually change things again, because yeah. OpenAI seems to be always one little step ahead of everyone else. So yeah. Keep an eye out for that when it comes out.
That's amazing. Look, I'm going to do this thing again where I'm going to put your QR code there, wherever it is that way. And make sure you connect with Nicole. I'm going to pester you for all the links. If you email them over to me, I shall drop everything into the follow-up email. I really appreciate everyone taking the time today to come and listen and get involved in the chat. And also, you know, massive thanks again to Cambridge Marketing College. If you are interested in doing their course, and getting qualified, then as I say, I think it's the 15th of May for that one. And it'll be me again next week. We've got Heather Murray, who's going to be talking about AI for non-techies, and specifically how marketers can get the most from ChatGPT, which I think will be super useful. So thanks again. Thanks for keeping the chat buzzing. You're a bunch of legends. And thank you again, Nicole. And yeah, we'll see. I'll see you in the chat next week.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
All right. Take care. Tatty bye.